Welcome to Reputation Online, a podcast about how individuals and organizations can develop and protect their reputation on the internet. We talk to business leaders, journalists, and PR professionals about the growing importance of social media and the challenges to business communicators.
Hello, I'm Steve Cropper. The internet provides business with a whole raft of opportunities to broaden their business online, enhance provision of their goods and services, engage with customers, and access new markets. And as Australia inches towards the brave new world of the national broadband network, it's fair to say that there'll be a lot more business done online. This is especially relevant to today's retailers. But it's not all good news. Recently, we've seen a campaign mounted by retail giants in Australia bemoaning the fact that foreign retailers are getting into Australian consumers and selling them goods and services without the imposition of the goods and services tax. Retail gurus like Harvey Norman co-founder Jerry Harvey claim that this is an unfair, unequal playing ground for homegrown retailers. But is all this protest in vain? Is it possible to actually turn back the digital tide? Is it a case of innovate or perish? Well, the tech wreck of 2001 provided a painful lesson that many businesses have learned from, while others have stuck to their traditional ways of doing things. And so the struggle between old and new continues. It's a tug of war that has many e-commerce observers, such as my next guest, very, very interested. Please welcome to Reputation Online ABC Technology commentator and author Paul Warbank. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Steve.
Now, Paul, Australian listeners will know who you are, but for the benefit of those who are listening overseas, what is the Paul Warbank story?
Well, Steve, I started up a couple of IT support businesses in the late 1990s, one of which I built into a national Australia-wide company. And from then, I went on to speak and write on how technology is changing business and communities. And today, I have two regular spots on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's National Radio Network, which is syndicated across the country. And I write a number of columns for some small and medium business websites.
We're also happy to add that you're a senior associate of Reputation Australia too. So, Paul, let's come to the issue of online tax for online trading. And you've published an article on ABC's website recently about this very thing, and you point out that many consumers in this country have very little sympathy for the big retailers and their problem with this tax-free online purchases.
No, they certainly don't. The overwhelming response on the social media channels and on the established traditional media channels as well, the letters to the editor, the talkback radio, those channels, everybody was completely against the against the retailer's position on this. I actually feel quite sorry for the television journalists that had to go out and do vox pops on the main street about it, because there were some very hostile reactions.
Well, I was talking to a few people myself, as a matter of fact, just in the line of my duties during the day, and they seem to be saying, well, you know, you can't have it both ways, can you? I mean, it was not that long ago, that 2 years ago, in fact, that Jerry Harvey declared that online retailing was a waste of time, and that both Meyer and David Jones have shut down their online services. So, you know, they say we don't want to play, but on the other hand, we don't want anybody overseas to play either. What exactly do they want?
Well, you're hitting a very interesting contradiction in the whole thing. Just to cut to the main question there of what do they want, they want to get the international retailers playing on the same rules as the local retailers. And this isn't just an Australian problem. In the United States, the Illinois state legislature is looking at bringing in sales tax on out-of-state internet purchases, which has got Amazon and Borders very upset. Colorado state government has already done this, and Amazon's cut off all of their affiliates because of this. So there's some fairly high-stake things happening there. There's similar things happening in the UK as well, with the with a few of the UK organisations like UK Uncut blockading stores that are perceived as being tax avoiders. And Tesco's are running their online, Tesco supermarket chain in the UK is running their online sales through the Channel Islands, which avoids British VAT. So this is part of a worldwide thing. And on the face of it, the retailers complaining that they're at a cost disadvantage because they have to charge value-added tax, goods and services tax, or state sales tax, whereas the internet retailers from out of state or overseas don't have to. That's a legitimate complaint. The retailers here in Australia, though, going back to your earlier point, they abandoned their online efforts in the early 2000s. And the interesting thing there is that the Australian-based online retailers who are still paying GST are still a lot cheaper than the Australian retailers, although they're not as cheap as the international retailers, which is part of the cost structures in Australia, which every country's unique, and there's a cost disadvantage if you're running a retail operation in Australia, which really any retailer is going to be on the back foot for.
Are we essentially looking at the same sort of phenomenon that when the world went from sail ships to powered ships, you know, from those gigantic sailing clippers that used to take big bags of wool all over the world, through to the screw turbine vessels that could go anywhere and carry a lot of passengers and so forth. Is it a matter of innovate or perish?
Very much so. That's a very interesting parallel you raise there, because back in those days, say the 1870s, 1880s, when the steamships were becoming in, the sail-driven clippers weren't that reliable. They could be becalmed for weeks or months on end. So the whole retail industry, such as it was back then, was built around those inefficiencies that you couldn't be sure that your goods and services would arrive in that internationally when you were hoping. In fact, you couldn't give a fixed date for delivery because it depended on the prevailing winds of the time. Once the steamship came in, all of a sudden international shipping became a lot more reliable. So anyone whose business was built around those inefficiencies was suddenly out of business. So you hit on a really good point there, I think, Steve.
Well, I mean, when you look at the prevailing winds in Australia right now, it's got the letters NBN blasted all over it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the prevailing wind. So, I mean, is it reasonable to assume that when the national broadband network comes into play, assuming it ever does see the light of day in this country, that we'll be seeing a whole lot more transactions occurring online? And if the retailers in the conventional high street retailers don't get with the act, then they have the risk, I suppose, of getting left behind.
I think this is bigger than the NBN. The changes there are really a part of the way globalization's happening, that I can just as easily buy from Amazon in Chicago as I can from Booktopia in the Channel Islands, as I can from Jerry Harvey in downtown Sydney. I think the real problem is that a lot of industries, and not just Australian retailers, but around the world, industries aren't adapting to this new reality. So that comes back to that steamship. We've got a lot of people who've built empires around selling sails and equipment for sailing ships and building their businesses around that model, when that model is very quickly dying. In fact, to take that a bit further, that analogy, it's like we've got a steam-driven or a horse-driven economy, and now the petrol motors arrived on the scene, the internal combustion's arrived on the scene, and that's completely changed the way business is going. So anybody that had built their business around what you could do with a horse and cart at the turn of the last century, at the beginning of the 20th century, all of a sudden that went out the window as we saw the motor car come into play.
My guest is ABC commentator Paul Warbank. The Australian Labor government has certainly made its stance on this thing in abundantly plain when the retailers got together and funded, no doubt, a very expensive public awareness campaign in order to raise this issue. The government was asked to impose GST on transactions made online from foreign suppliers, and they said no. So this issue hardly looks like it's about to go away anytime soon.
That's right. Well, what the actual debate's about is sales of less than $1,000 Australian dollars. Above $1,000 Australian dollars, you do still get hit with the GST coming in. But the Australian government's view on that is that going below that level of $1,000 isn't cost effective for them to collect it, so they're not going to collect it. And that's where the real campaign is. In the UK, I think it's £18 is the limit, although one suspects that they lose a lot of money on that. And there's similar restrictions in European countries, in the United States, and so on. So what they're really campaigning for is to get that level down to a much lower level to discourage people from buying overseas. Where they made the mistake, though, I think, with this, Steve, was that most people who have shopped overseas know that the cost difference is far more than the 10% of the tax take. It's in many cases, it's 30, 40, 50, even 70% price difference between the Australian and the North American or European prices. And people said, well, guys, you can add the 10%, You're not going to stop us. We'll continue to shop overseas. And I think that's where the Fair Go for Retailers campaign really got its message mangled and ended up coming out on the wrong side of this.
Yes, inevitably people are going to go where the best buys are, where the best deals are, where the best value for money is to be found. Now, I mean, it's symptomatic perhaps of a broader communication issue for business communicators. Online retail isn't going anywhere. Do you think that it might be a matter of we know that online is there, we have a vague understanding of what it does, but we don't really know how to handle it?
I think there's an element of that, because even though it's online retail's now, I guess, moving into 15 years old, and we should keep in mind too that we've had catalogue retailing, mail order retailing for 150 years, probably back to the US Civil War that goes, and the arrival of the steam engine. We are entering some new territory where it's a lot easier to order things from overseas, and with credit cards and that, it's a lot easier to pay for them. So we've got that whole structure developing. People are still trying new things. We know some stuff that works online and some stuff that doesn't work online, but things are still developing there. I think with the retailers, the real problem, as you said, was communication, that they're not communicating really well with their audience, their markets, and that's the real concern, I would suggest, for the shareholders and the owners of these retail chains in Australia, that they were so deeply out of touch with where their market is going at the moment that they'd get such a huge negative reaction in their faces and really be befuddled about what exactly hit them.
Well, the online world is here to stay, so better get used to it and get with the program. And you've written a fair bit on this issue, of course, Paul. Where can people go to find some of your articles?
My personal website's probably the best place, where everything I publish, which isn't exclusive, is at paulwallbank.com. That's paulwallbank.com. And, I usually have something new up there every day or two.
And if in doubt, just Google it. Paul Warbank comes up all over Australian websites anyway. Okay, well, look, thank you very much for your time, Paul Warbank.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
And if you have a comment about this podcast or a suggestion for a future program, please visit our website at www.reputationaustralia.com.au. Your feedback and ideas are always welcome. I'm Steve Cropper. Looking forward to your company next time round.